well. National Mental Health Week begins on Sunday, and all through next week, The Wire will be bringing you a special series, shining a light on different parts of our community and what special challenges they face when it comes to mental health. We'll talk to the young and the elderly, the Indigenous, the brain injured, to newly arrived and culturally diverse Australians, and to those who suffer the silent curse of constant anxiety. We'll find out what different issues they face and explore what supports are there for them. As a prelude to the series and to Mental Health Week, Sarah Martin today brings us the untold story of the Australian pioneer who discovered the treatment for bipolar disorder.
John Cade was born in the Victorian country town of Horsham, and his father was a psychiatrist who had fought in Gallipoli and was scarred by his experience, returning to Australia with shell shock, now known as post-traumatic stress disorder. Upon his return to Australia, as was the custom, the family settled in a psychiatric hospital where his father took up the role as doctor.
This was very important for the young John Cade, because as a boy of primary school age, he saw mentally ill patients, men and women, every day of his boyhood. And as John Cade grew up as a young boy, he came to regard the mentally ill not as odd or different or to be feared, but as people and as friends. And this came to shape his whole direction when he became a doctor.
John Cade went on to study paediatrics and then moved on to study psychiatry in a very different time to that we know now.
It was a brutal world. There was not a single effective medication available to a doctor in a mental hospital before the Second World War. And the physical treatments were often ones where patients were kept in straitjackets for prolonged periods. They might have been locked away in single rooms. And there was a kind of coarse, brutal thread to the way patients were treated.
John Cade signed up for World War II and was ultimately incarcerated as a prisoner of war in the camp called Changi, where he spent his time running a psychiatry clinic. This experience further framed his understanding of mental illness.
He came to the conclusion that we should look at psychiatric illness, like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, in the same way we look at any other medical illness. That is, that it has a physical basis, a biological basis. Now, that may not seem revolutionary to you and me, but at the time it was. And he came across the idea that maybe there are small changes in the body's chemistry or its functioning, physical functioning, that led to these illnesses like bipolar disorder.
When John Cade eventually returned to Australia, he took up residence in Bundoora Asylum, and it was there that he started to investigate people with manic depressive disorder, which is now known as bipolar disorder.
For periods of time, patients are manic, they're very elevated in mood, they talk quickly, they talk loudly, and they're often psychotic. For example, they might have grandiose delusions about having special powers. But the opposite, of course, is when they're profoundly depressed and sometimes very suicidal. And patients live this kind of oscillating life for their entire life.
Cade then started to experiment with the urine of his patients to investigate where the subtle chemical changes could make a difference. His first subjects were guinea pigs, and through this he ultimately discovered the power of the element lithium.
When he injected the lithium solution into guinea pigs, something remarkable happened. Instead of the guinea pigs all dying, they just became very relaxed. And he looked at these guinea pigs, looked at the patients around him, and he made the leap that maybe he could inject a solution of lithium, or give a solution of lithium to his agitated psychiatric patients, and perhaps it might have the same effect as it did in guinea pigs. It might calm them.
With this theory in mind, Cade mixed up a solution of lithium chloride and took it himself for many weeks to ensure that there were no adverse side effects. Once he was satisfied of relative safety, he chose a patient to begin his experiments.
He found a man by the name of Bill Brand, an ex-digger from World War I, who had had manic depression, bipolar disorder for close to three decades, was very psychotic, running around the grounds of the asylum. He gave lithium to Bill, and within 2 months, Bill walked out of the asylum completely sane and went back to his old job. Nothing had been seen like it in the history of medicine before.
Despite Bill's apparent successful treatment, he lapsed into the false confidence that he could stop taking lithium and slowly drew back into the illness and returned to the hospital for further treatment.
Back then, it was not understood that you only had to give a certain amount of lithium. If you give too much, it becomes toxic for the patient. And John Cade, desperate to make Bill well again, drove the level up and, unbeknownst to him, made Bill toxic with lithium. And in 1950, Bill became one of the first people to actually die from lithium toxicity. And that had a profound effect on John Cade. He thought he had really discovered something miraculous for mental illness, which indeed he had, but he was also now faced with the prospect that if you gave too much, you might also damage and perhaps even kill someone.
Eventually, the problem was solved with an assessment of blood toxicity and an understanding of the right levels of lithium to allow proper treatment.
Now, really, we use lithium not only to treat episodes of what we call mania, but we can also give lithium long-term to patients who have bipolar disorder to stop future episodes of mania and depression. Without doubt, this is the single biggest contribution Australia has made to the treatment of mental illness.
And that's Greg DeMore, co-author of the John Cade biography, Finding Sanity, speaking to Sarah Martin there.